Last week we talked about gifts of the Holy Spirit and that we need to use them so that we can glorify Jesus and build up the body of Christ and the church. And this week I want to continue by talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but in a more specific way. I want to talk to you particularly about praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues. Now, that may make you a bit uncomfortable, especially if you're not used to that or you've not heard that idea. Most of you probably have. You've been around the church a little while. But if you've not heard about that, that may make you a bit uncomfortable. I hope that some of what we talk about tonight will demonstrate where it is in the Scripture and why there's not something to be scared about. You are in a Pentecostal church, and if you're from a different faith tradition or background, you don't fully understand what the Bible says about speaking in tongues, I hope to shed some light on that, but my intent is not to defend the practice in fully or totally. I have to do that in other messages and have done that before, but I'm working off the belief that we believe that this is something that the Scripture teaches, that it is a gift that God gives, and this church believes that it is the initial physical evidence that a person's been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit that comes after salvation, and it empowers believers for witness to the world and service to the church. In the New Testament, has more than a few references to speaking in tongues and no hint of a suggestion that this is going to go away anytime, as some people teach and preach. Speaking in tongues was one of the signs given to the disciples on the day of Pentecost when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And on that day, they began speaking in languages that they didn't know, but people overheard them, and they were human languages that the people who were gathered around on that day understood and heard. In fact, we can read in Acts 2:4, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And this sign of baptism in the Spirit continued throughout the book of Acts, but the day of Pentecost was the only instance in the biblical record which notes that the language spoken was an existing language. Acts 10:46, Acts 19:6, and other instances of speaking in tongues in the book of Acts, like Acts 8:17 to 18, don't say that they were speaking a human language that could be understood. Paul also had a lot to say about speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians. He says at 1 Corinthians 14:18, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." And in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul seems to make a distinction between speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues, gifts that should go together in a public setting, and a believer praying in tongues privately. At 1 Corinthians 14:2, he wrote, "For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit." And we can deduce several things about the practice of speaking in tongues from this. First, while the tongues spoken on the day of Pentecost may have been or were human languages, Paul apparently indicates that it was the norm in the early church that while they were speaking in tongues, the language was not understood and therefore probably was not a human language. Second, the direction of the tongue is not from God to people, but from people to God. Notice he says the one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but speaks to God. That is, tongues is not a message from God, but communication to God through the Spirit. Paul explicitly says that one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. And third, this is a mystery. When praying in tongues by yourself, the normal experience is that you don't understand what you're saying. You're speaking a mystery. Your spirit prays, the Apostle Paul says in another place, but your mind is unfruitful. And you might wonder what good that can possibly do. Why is that a thing? And we're going to address that in a few moments. The passages about speaking in tongues are concentrated in Acts and in 1 Corinthians, but that doesn't mean it was a fringe thing or that it died out at some point. The burden of proof would seem to rest on the person who wants to say this is not something God wanted to continue to demonstrate that. And I'll tell you, because I've read it, there's no place in the New Testament that it says this is not going to continue. You just won't find it. And so the expectation would be that this is a gift that God continues to give. Speaking in tongues is not the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and it is not the only sign that a person has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Instead, we believe it is the initial physical sign or evidence. That means it's the first outwardly visible evidence that a person has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Practically speaking, when a person is baptized in the Spirit does not make them speak. You still have to move your lips, use your tongue, engage your vocal cords. The Holy Spirit enables or guides that speech. And maybe you can think of it, and we've used this illustration before, you can think of it a bit like riding a bicycle built for two. If you're in the back, you're not doing the steering, but you are still pedaling, right? So you're providing power, but somebody else is leading where this thing's going. That's kind of how you can think of what the Holy Spirit does in the gift of speaking in tongues. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, you still have to use your vocal cords, you still have to use your tongue, you still have to use words, but it's the Holy Spirit who's directing that prayer. You may be thinking, well, why speaking in tongues? Why would God do something so strange? Why does it have to be so odd? And first off, it has to be something out of the ordinary, because if it was something that was ordinary, it wouldn't be a sign, would it? So it had to be something a little bit strange by definition, or it wouldn't be a sign. Second, I think it has a lot to do with the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is to empower us to be a witness for Him. If you can trust the Holy Spirit to speak through you in a language that you do not understand, surely you can trust the Holy Spirit to speak through you in the language that you do understand. That is, the sign of the baptism in the Holy Spirit can serve to build confidence in the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is to be a witness for Jesus or to share your faith with other people. And through Acts and its roots in the Old Testament, you can see the connection between speaking in tongues and prophecy. We read earlier from Acts 19:6 that when the believers in Ephesus were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues, the scripture says, and they prophesied. And they should be seen in the book of Acts, that should be seen as a fulfillment of Moses' wish that all God's people would prophesy. Numbers 11:29 says, but Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. The church is a prophetic people. We are a prophetic people empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the excellent plan of God and to call people into God's kingdom. His plan to rescue people through his son Jesus Christ. And as such, we function like prophets. We're calling people to the will of God. Perhaps it's really not so strange then that the sign of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. It's speaking in a manner that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And as part of the church, we are called to speak in that manner. We use our voices to proclaim the goodness of God. We use our voices to proclaim the plan of God, His perfection, and the eternal hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That's what baptism in the Spirit is about. That's what speaking in tongues is about. It's about emboldening us and ensuring us that God can speak through us, not only in a language that we don't understand, but also in English and Spanish or Russian or whatever other native language you speak. But speaking in tongues is not just initial physical evidence that you've been baptized in the Spirit. In fact, I believe the New Testament demonstrates that speaking in tongues needs to be an ongoing part of our walk with Christ. It needs to be an ongoing part of our lives in prayer. And what the Bible reveals about speaking in tongues shows us that God works in us when we pray in tongues. Praying in tongues is not a gift for extra special Christians who are extra close to God, closer to God than other people. This gift is available to anyone. And we've talked many times about baptism in the Holy Spirit in the church, and so I'm kind of rushing through this background part a little bit so that we can get to some of what speaking in tongues accomplishes in your personal prayer life. But when a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit, the initial evidence of that is speaking in tongues, and that shouldn't stop but continue in our regular prayer. And that's really what I want to talk to you about tonight. Now, before we dive in to the specifics, I do want to talk about speaking in tongues in a public setting for just a moment. Because speaking in tongues in a public setting, the scripture tells us, is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it can be used, and it's permissible, and in fact, it is a gift, but the public use of this gift is always, the scripture says, to be accompanied by an interpretation of tongues. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 13 and 19. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing praise with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider, that is anyone who doesn't understand, say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough. And notice, if I might pause here for a moment, notice the Apostle Paul says you might be giving thanks. He doesn't say you might be prophesying. Because again, remember, tongues is not God speaking to us. Tongues is us speaking to God through the Holy Spirit. And so if there's an interpretation of that tongue, we would expect it would be prayer, praise, or thanksgiving, not from God to us, but from us to God. And the Apostle Paul confirms that here. He says that if you're giving thanks in the Spirit and nobody understands, what good does that do? And so he says, you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. And so we often believe that it's really spiritual to speak in tongues, and it is, but it does no one else any spiritual good unless it is interpreted. And tonight we're going to be talking about the good that it does for you personally to pray in tongues. But if no one can understand you, it does not help them to hear you. And I realize that there are a number of different traditions and practices that sometimes you'll hear people speak in tongues loudly while they're praying, or even you'll hear people pray in tongues over a microphone. And though those tongues are not interpreted, they're praying and they're praying in tongues, but nobody interprets that. And we don't direct our worship based on the traditions of men, but we direct our worship based on what God's word says. And Paul says that it doesn't do anybody any good to hear you pray in tongues because they can't understand it. And so I'm not saying that it's never appropriate, that there's never an appropriate time when believers who we know, we're all believers, we're gathered together and we're just praying, and someone might overhear you praying in tongues. I'm not saying that's an evil thing or a bad thing, but what I'm saying is if you're praying in a public setting where everybody's listening to you and you kind of claim the microphone or you take the floor or you're distracting people around you praying in tongues, just know this, you're not doing them any good. The Apostle Paul says it explicitly. It's not helping them at all. They don't know what you're saying. And you might think you're being super spiritual. And Paul says, actually, you're just being a distraction, which is kind of the opposite of spiritual. So don't do that. And so if you wonder, why doesn't Pastor Stephen pray in tongues and microphone? Well, it's because the Bible says don't do that. That's why I don't do it. So, and I'm not condemning people you might have heard do that in the past. It's just that the Bible says pretty explicitly, if you're going to pray in tongues publicly, you'd better be ready to interpret it, or just don't, because nobody knows what you're saying. Paul's point is that we shouldn't think that the same personal building that we're going to talk about that takes place in you when you pray in tongues is happening in others just because they hear you, because they can't understand it, and the same thing that's going on in you is not necessarily going on in them. So we should be aware and beware that we follow God's instruction on this and not make up our own rules because we desire to be super spiritual. That's what the Corinthian church did. They were in error when they did it. We don't want to be in error. We want to follow God's will, His ways, and so we want to follow what the Scripture leads us and how it leads us when it comes to spiritual gifts, including speaking in tongues. Now, with that out of the way, let's dive into why you should pray in tongues. And you should pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit, to turn up the heat on your faith, to ratchet up your faith in Christ. And the first thing we see is that you can build yourself up spiritually. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians that, in 1 Corinthians 14, 4, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. And we know that Paul was not suggesting that building yourself up by praying in tongues is a bad thing. Because he wrote, I thank God that I pray in tongues more than all of you. 1 Corinthians 14:18. The book of Jude says this in Jude 20-21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? One of the ways is clearly praying in the Spirit. Now, some may object, and I've heard people object and say, well, Jude doesn't say praying in tongues. He says praying in the Spirit. And I say to that, fine, but doesn't praying in tongues qualify? Doesn't that fit in with what it would mean to pray in the Spirit? Well, he means that you're praying and listening and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and praying according to the will of God. Yes, but if you're praying in tongues, are you not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and praying according to the will of God? I think that you are. And so this would qualify for what Jude says. So Paul says you can build yourselves up. And Jude says that we can keep ourselves in God's love by praying in the Spirit, by praying in tongues. Doesn't that sound kind of important? Like something that can really help us to grow in our walk with Christ and our spiritual lives? And this is an interesting facet of speaking in tongues, because often when we think of something that the Holy Spirit does, we think of like a quick jolt, like a momentary thing, like, oh man, the Spirit was there tonight, woo, right? And we really got blessed. And then we go home and forget about it, right? And so, great, but Jude doesn't say that. Jude says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, which is something that happens over a long period of time. And you keep doing over and over again. You keep building yourself up over a long period of time. How? You're praying in the Spirit. You're growing in the love of God. This takes place continuously. So it's not just a quick jolt. It's a regular thing that we do as believers in Jesus Christ and those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And you might not think it, but the Bible says that praying in tongues will help to solidify your faith and keep you in God's love. That's not an overnight thing. Instead, it happens day by day. As you pray in the Spirit, the structure of your heart grows. It's solidified in faith. Not only does praying in tongues build up your faith, it also helps you to overcome attacks from the enemy. Look what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6:18. He says, after he gets done listing the armor of God, he says this, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And so he's listed the shield, the sword, helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the gospel of peace, all of those things. And then he says, and don't forget praying in the Spirit at all times. Again, you may say that he doesn't mention tongues specifically. No, but again, I think that praying in tongues qualifies as praying in the Spirit, whatever you think he means there. You may not always think of it, but praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues will solidify your faith. It will steel it up. It will keep you in God's love. So practice praying in the Spirit. The second thing that this does, the second way it turns up the heat on your faith, is that you can pray the perfect will of God. There's a confidence that comes when you've prayed in the Spirit that I've prayed according to God's will. On the day of Pentecost, when the 120 believers were gathered in the upper room, they were baptized in the Spirit. The Word of God says they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit, or as the Spirit gave them utterance. So it's the Holy Spirit who's speaking through them. And it's the Holy Spirit who speaks through you when you pray in tongues. Now, we know that when we pray in tongues, we're praying and we're not prophesying. We're not doing something else, because Paul says, one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. So we know we're praying. Not only that, but we know that the Holy Spirit, according to Romans chapter 8, 27, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And so putting all of this together, then, we know that when we pray in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, by the Holy Spirit, we are praying according to God's will. And this doesn't mean that you will know what God's will is yet, necessarily. Paul said that one who speaks in a tongue utters mysteries in the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 14:2. And that when praying in a tongue, a person's mind is unfruitful, 1 Corinthians 14:14. So it's not that you suddenly gain insight, necessarily, because you were praying in tongues, but you do gain courage. You gain the courage of knowing, I've prayed according to God's will. You gain the strength of certainty that you've prayed what you should have prayed concerning a particular person or a particular need. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for. And the Holy Spirit helps us to pray for those circumstances and situations, even though we don't know what we should say. Sometimes as I'm praying along, I might come to a particular need or a person for whom I feel I need to pray more intently, but I don't know what else to pray for them. And it's then that I'll sometimes feel a push to pray in the Spirit or by the Spirit, to pray in tongues, and so intercede for that person or that situation by the Spirit and according to God's will. For instance, once I was praying through a list of people, and I came to one particular couple who I knew that they were engaged, and I began praying for them as I thought best, and as I continued to pray, I just sensed that something was wrong. I needed to keep praying for them, and so I prayed for them longer. I exhausted everything I could think of to pray for the couple, but still felt that I should continue to pray, so I prayed in the Spirit. My mind was unfruitful, but my spirit prayed through the Holy Spirit, and when I was done, I felt confidence that I'd prayed correctly. And several days later, that young lady contacted me and said that there were some issues in the relationship. And I was able to offer her some counsel and to pray with her about the situation, and it was quickly resolved and favorably resolved. And I believe it came to light and it was resolved in a manner that it was, in part because I prayed in the Spirit. When you pray in tongues, you pray according to the will of God, and He responds because you prayed His will. Jesus said that we ought to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." When you pray in the Spirit, you know you're praying according to God's will because it's the Holy Spirit who is interceding through you. The third reason that you should pray in tongues is that when you do, you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. The New Testament tells us over and over that we should walk in the Spirit. My favorite is how Paul expressed it in Galatians 5:25, "Keep in step with the Spirit." And I don't know if you've realized this yet, but it takes a lot of humility to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Often you'll want to do things that the Holy Spirit does not want you to do. Many times you won't want to do things that you sense the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. They'll take you out of your comfort zone. He may ask you to lose face, to be embarrassed for God once in a while. He isn't concerned about what our culture calls trendy or cool. He has His own definitions for those things. And we can't keep in step with Him unless we're willing to be humble as Jesus is humble. And I think that in part, this is why God chose tongues as a sign of the Spirit. Because look at Acts 2:13. It says, "But others, mocking, said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" And this is what some of those who overheard the disciples praying in tongues on the day of Pentecost accused them of doing. From the very beginning, when they were overheard speaking in tongues, they were accused of being out of their minds or drunk early in the morning, and they were mocked for it. And this still happens today. Even some prominent pastors and prominent theologians will rebuke or mock or deride those who take God at His word and believe in praying in tongues. There's a stigma that sometimes comes to Pentecostals and who believe in praying in tongues. And the question might be, are you willing to bear that? You've been willing to bear the stigma that comes with being a Christian, to take up your cross and follow Jesus. Are you willing to bear the stigma that sometimes comes from following God's word in this manner? Not only that, but as I've already mentioned, when you pray in tongues, you don't know what you're saying, and that can be a disconcerting feeling at times. While you're talking, your lips are moving, you're the one making the sounds, you aren't in control of what's being said or of what it means. And so that can be disconcerting sometimes and leave you feeling uncomfortable. Speaking in tongues then, because of how others perceive it and because of maybe how you even perceive it sometimes and the discomfort it produces in you, it provides a lesson for keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Because keeping in step with the Holy Spirit requires humility. It requires that you relinquish control and give obedience to God and to what He's doing in your life. And I think that that's how God intended it. I think it's one of the reasons why speaking in tongues is the sign of baptism of the Spirit. And finally, you can be emboldened. You should pray in the Spirit to turn up the heat on your faith, because when you pray in tongues, you build yourself up spiritually. You pray the perfect will of God. You submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, and you are emboldened. And in part, this relates back to knowing that when you pray in tongues, you are praying according to God's perfect will. When you know that, there's a sense of courage and there's an assurance, but it goes even further than that. Jesus said that the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit was that we'd be empowered to bear witness about him, that they would empower disciples like you and me to witness to him. Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. So why would God choose speaking in tongues as a sign of the Holy Spirit's empowering presence? When you speak in tongues, you're exercising faith that the Holy Spirit is praying through you. He is giving utterance, or he's giving the unction, or he's giving the words, or he's giving the direction, as you might put it. As the book of Acts says, he gives the utterance. And if you have faith to believe that the Holy Spirit enables you to speak in a language that you don't know, and that when you do, you're praying according to God's perfect will, you're praying the mind of the Spirit, how much more should you believe that the Holy Spirit can use you to speak in English to your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers concerning Jesus? If you'll trust him to do something as odd and uncomfortable as speaking in tongues, can you not trust him to do something that may make you as uncomfortable sometimes as sharing your faith with others? Speaking in tongues can bring a supernatural confidence of the Holy Spirit's presence in witnessing. This is certainly what happened on the day of Pentecost, when in spite of the mocking crowd, Peter, who formerly denied Christ three times, spoke boldly to all those who overheard, and 3,000 were saved and baptized. And if the Holy Spirit can give you the ability to pray in a language you don't know or understand, you can trust him to help you witness in a language that you do understand. Praying in tongues builds you up spiritually. It enables you to pray the perfect will of God, teaches you to submit to the Holy Spirit, and emboldens you for witness. And so I would just suggest this, that I think that as believers in Jesus Christ and as Pentecostals who claim the power of the Holy Spirit and claim to have the work of the Spirit in our lives, that this is something that ought to be a part of our lives on a regular basis, that it ought to be a part of our prayer lives, that we should be praying in the Spirit, and it should be part of what you do in your quiet time, that you pray in the Spirit. Maybe you set aside a certain amount of time during your time of prayer during the day, and you say, for 5 minutes, I'm going to pray in the Spirit during this time. There's a lady, Jackie Pollinger, a missionary to Hong Kong. She went there in her early 20s, and for the first 2 years, she didn't see much success. And then she decided one day that she was going to start praying in tongues 15 minutes a day by the clock. That's how she put it. She was going to time herself. She's going to pray for 15 minutes a day in tongues. And while she didn't immediately feel anything particular, that's when she began to see conversions of addicts in the streets of Hong Kong. And eventually she started leading addicts in the street to Christ, and as soon as they would pray the sinner's prayer, she would instruct them to begin speaking in a language that they did not know. And that's how addicts began to pray their way out of addiction on the streets of Hong Kong. And God gave her such great success in Hong Kong that the authorities in the city recognized that she was virtually the only person having any success at rehabilitating addicts and getting people off the street. So they gave her several acres of land on which to do her missionary work, and she links her success in ministry back to that decision to begin intentionally praying in tongues, praying according to the Spirit and according to God's will, to give power to the ministry that she was already doing there. So the question we might ask is this: what if you intentionally prayed in the language the Holy Spirit has given you? What if you just said, like Jackie, you know what? God has given me this. He's given it to build me up in my faith. He's given me to give me courage in the witness, to give me confidence that I'm praying according to God's will. What if you said, I'm going to start praying in the Spirit? What might God want to do through you? What power might God want to release into your life, in your ministry, if you begin to practice that? The Bible indicates that when you pray in tongues, you're going to build yourself up. You'll pray that perfect will of God. You'll practice submission necessary to follow the Holy Spirit, and you'll be emboldened for witness. So what's keeping you from doing that? Is it because it's weird? Well, is it that weird for a Christian to believe that the Holy Spirit can empower them to speak? I mean, didn't Jesus pretty much say that anyway, that that's what the Holy Spirit would be sent to do, that he would give us words to say? What's so weird about believing what the Scripture tells us is the testimony of what happened when people were baptized in the Holy Spirit? Is it because it's uncomfortable? Well, God calls us to the uncomfortable sometimes. Maybe we just need to get a little uncomfortable for him. Is it because you're afraid of something, or you haven't practiced it in a while? Just ask the Lord, renew this in my life. I want to begin practicing this. I want to begin practicing praying in the Spirit and experiencing these benefits in my life. I want to challenge you tonight to begin praying in the Spirit in your time of prayer. If you've not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit, of course, that would be the first step, that you would seek the Lord. And obviously, we don't have time tonight for a sermon on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But basically, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is given to empower believers to be a witness. The New Testament indicates that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of that. And if you've not been baptized in the Spirit, just ask the Lord. The Scripture says it's a gift. It's a gift the Father wants to give. So there's not pressure. There's nothing you got to do to manipulate God to get you to get him to give it to you. You just ask him. And you just keep asking him until you receive the promise of the Father. That's what he calls it. It's a promise. So just ask him for his promise. Just like you might ask somebody else who's promised something to you. Lord, give me this promise. And trust him when you do. And just simply pray, believe, and receive what God has said he would give to you. And be persistent until he does. Tonight, I'm going to give you this opportunity to just do what we've talked about. If you've not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'd encourage you to find a place and pray. And there are some pastors and deacons here, deaconesses, who would be happy to pray for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you haven't yet, just make your way forward here at the end of the service, and we will pray for you. And if you've already been baptized in the Holy Spirit, why not take a few moments tonight and pray in tongues? You don't have to do it, you know, loud and get everybody's attention. We talked about that earlier. But you can take some time and begin to say, Lord, I want to experience this kind of growth in my life. And so begin to practice what God has given you, that gift that God has given you, and have the confidence the Spirit's praying through me. Why not begin to do that tonight? In fact, why don't we just take a few moments and do that? I recognize that you might have kids. You got to pick them up. I understand. So this is your grace and peace. You feel free to go when you need to go. But for the next few moments, would you just call out to the Lord? If there's a need in your life for prayer, whether it's for baptism of the Holy Spirit or for something else, and you'd like to come down for prayer, we will be here to pray with you. But let's take a few moments and let's put into practice the gift that God has given us and trust. He wants to build his church up. This is his gift, and he wants to use it to make us the witnessing people, the prophetic people that he's called us to be. Will you pray with us and believe together that God wants to do that?